Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable, and it is time for our weekly Bible study right here on our website. Let's talk about Jesus. I would do that no matter what the title was, but this happens to be the title we chose for our radio broadcast years ago. We have been on radio ministry different times down through the years. Our very first was the Send the Light broadcast. The second time that we were on air, we had a broadcast by the name of Foundations for Faith. And the last time we were on the radio that was also connected to the internet, the title of our broadcast was Let's Talk About Jesus. And now it is the title of our weekly Bible study. Hallelujah. We are so glad once again to bring you a message that is based upon the Word of the living God and the truth of God and Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. We're going to stay true to the Word. We're going to have to put Jesus in the forefront as the centerpiece of the gospel. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's talk about Jesus today on the subject, God's champion dwelling in us. God's champion dwelling in us. This is an important message in our understanding of who we are in Jesus and who Jesus is in us today. Praise God. If you want to overcome the enemy and not be intimidated, I didn't say do not respect him. The Bible said to be sober and be vigilant. Listen, our enemy is set for our destruction. He walks about as a roaring lion, a hungry, ravenous beast, wanting to destroy us. And Jesus said it very clearly, didn't he? He said to Simon Peter, Satan had desired to have you. And if you keep that in the singular, it's not fully accurate. It's not just him talking to Peter concerning Peter, but it's in the plural. In other words, he said to Peter, as one of the apostles and one of the disciples who would become more and more as the gospel went forth and many more came to know Christ as their Savior and began to follow him. But what he said to Peter was this, Satan hath desired to have all of you, that he may sift all of you as the wheat, destroy you, decimate you, destroy you. But I prayed for you, that your faith would fail not. Not that you would never have to face him and face the full brunt of his anger and his hatred for God and for Jesus and for everyone affiliated with them. And because of him, we're automatically a target for the devil. Now, he owns the other people. He'll have them when they draw their last breath. He will have them. He will destroy them eternally. But today, he wants to stop us from being bold witnesses for Jesus Christ. And we need an understanding that God's champion that defeated him is now dwelling in every true child of God. So we want to talk about God's champion dwelling in us. Him overcoming once and for all, that we might always overcome every time that we are challenged by the enemy. And we will be challenged by the enemy. We argue not against flesh and blood. It may seem that way in the political arena, in the culture wars, but behind it all, there's an entity and there are powers. Well, the Bible said it, didn't it? You don't argue against flesh and blood, but powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places, and the rulers of the darkness of this world. Wherefore, put on the whole armor of God, that we might be able to withstand in the evil day. And we're living in that evil day right now. The last day is a time of wickedness, lawlessness, demonic influence upon a culture and upon people like we have never seen in our lifetime. I'm going on 77 years old. I know I don't look like it, and I'm not, just because I'm on radio, you see, and I'm not on television. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't feel like it when the anointing is upon me. I'm not old in my spirit, and by the way, neither are you today. Praise God. In our spirit, we have that is part of eternity living in us. God's champion is living in every child of God. Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Praise God. And when we understand what that means and the ramifications of it, it'll change us in area of our bold faith to stand up against these powers and not be overcome by them. Even though we have weak flesh, though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. Praise God. Look with me. Let's talk about this champion who is dwelling within us today. Colossians 2, 12 through 15. It said, buried with him, that's our identification with him beginning, in baptism, wherein you were also risen with him, notice, buried with him, raised with him, through the operation, through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him up from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him. Notice the with hims. That's where we're going. But let's establish who's living in us, who we are in, and who is in us. Let me go back. I'm in such a hurry to get to this meat of this word today, but I need to teach a little bit before I just take off preaching. Listen, and you being dead in your sins, that's where we all were, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Now, we have an enemy that is called the accuser of the brethren, who accuses us before God day and night. And there's no way to overcome his accusations by claiming sinless perfection. But we can claim, we must claim, in order to overcome him, that because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we have been forgiven. Hallelujah. All trespasses, when we repent of our sin, come to Christ as our Savior, confess our sin, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Praise God. I want to read that again. And you being dead, that means we have been separated from God because of our sin. But we've been reconciled to God because of the cleansing efficacy of the blood of Jesus Christ. And the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Don't let the devil bring up your past. If you are a Christian and you have been forgiven, and if you as a Christian have faltered and repented and asked for forgiveness, don't let him bring that up and point his accusing finger at you. The scripture's clear in Romans chapter 8. Who is he that condemneth? Who's going to step forth when it's God that justifieth? It's Christ that died, yea, is risen from the dead. If God be for us, who can be against us? And it's all about this condemnation, this condemning one, this accusing one, this maligning one. That's what devil means in the New Testament, diablos. And it's from the Greek word that means a maligner, someone that is screaming to God, how can you love them? How can you call them your sons and daughters? They are not perfect. And he'll point out every imperfection in us. And there will be enough to disqualify us if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus and the cross upon which he was nailed to shed that blood in our behalf. So they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, Revelation chapter 12. And the word of their testimony, New Testament said to hold fast your profession of faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. That word profession is confession, and that word confession in the Greek means to say the same thing as another. In other words, if God says I'm forgiven, that's a drop the mic moment. If God be for me, and he is, who can be against me? No one. No one. When the blood of Jesus is applied, hallelujah, that's when the devil loses this battle to accuse. And that's when we refuse to be accused by him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Listen. And you being, I got to back up. I got too much to say, too little time to say it, to try to rush through it. Everywhere you see in the scriptures, and this is just one of so many, buried with him, underscore with him, in baptism, that means we're identified with his death and his burial, wherein you are risen with him, underscore with him, through the faith of the operation of God, buried with him, identified with his death, and identified with his resurrection, through faith in the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together, made alive together, there it is, with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Many times when they crucified someone, they nailed a piece of paper at the bottom of that cross of the reasons, the things they had been convicted of, but they couldn't nail it on us, because it was nailed to his cross. He was our substitute, our sacrifice lamb. God hath laid on him the iniquity of us all, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Literally, triumphing over them in the cross. The Amplified said that God disarmed the principalities and powers ranged against us and made a bold public display, an example of them, triumphing over them in him and in the cross. God's champion in our behalf. Hallelujah. And now this champion has come to live within you and to live within me. And what is the result of that? What is the ramifications of that spiritually when we are up against an enemy that accuses us relentlessly before God? And when we have a conscience that God used to convict us, but now, he said, that conscience needs to be sprinkled with the blood of Christ, and the guilt that we used to carry, we needn't carry any further. Someone said it this way: the next time the devil reminds you of where you've been, just remind him of where he's headed, and don't let him bring you back under that burden of guilt and that burden of shame. Who the Son sets free, remember this, is free indeed, really free. Free from that fear of where we're going to spend eternity. Free from the fear of facing God as our judge and not our Father and our Savior and our Sovereign and our King. Listen, friend of mine, this is what Jesus has done. When he hung on that cross, the devil had no idea that he was gaining a victory in our behalf that would literally spoil and disarm and strip away principalities and powers and all of this array of wicked and evil forces that are arrayed against us. Hallelujah. A.W. Tozer commented on something I'm going to read you. Before I read what he said, let me read you a scripture in Colossians chapter 1. And let's begin reading at verse 27. This is what he commented on, a portion of this. And I want to read what he said. I want you to get it today. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Many translate this, the earnest of our inheritance, is Christ in us, the down payment on heaven, the earnest money that He's going to bring to pass what He's promised. Hold fast your profession of faith. They overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives, even unto the death. It brought a deep, deep devotion to Jesus, that nothing could sway them, not even the threat of death could keep them from their testimony, from their confession of Christ as their Savior, and from their victory that they claim, no matter what. Death couldn't keep them from triumphing in Him. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to read this again, put it in context. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of His majesty among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, He's in us, and we're in Him. Now, God is, we used to sing a song, I'm tied up, tangled up, all wrapped up in Jesus. Tied up, tangled up, and wrapped up in Jesus. Jesus prayed to the Father in St. John's Gospel, and He said, Father, He said, I want you to love them just like you love me. And I want you know how I'm in you and you're in me. Well, I want them to be one in us just like that. And this is the glory of our spiritual union with Christ and His coming to indwell us. Praise God, that He may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. We're accepted in the Beloved, not because we attained. Listen, we're not under the sway of sin. We're not under the influence of it. We're tempted to do it. And some may give in and catch themselves and repent of it. His seed remains in us that we sin not. Amen. Sin is not to reign, and we have power. We have power in the name of Jesus, and we can plead the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. We can, we must overcome because He has come to indwell us and we have been baptized into Him. Praise God. God's champion dwelling in you, dwelling in me, and you and me, you and I dwelling in Him, that He may present every man perfect in Christ. See, He loved the church and He cleansed it in Ephesians 5, by the washing of water, by the word, amen, that He might present it unto God, a glorious church. We can't present ourselves that way, but because of what He's done at the cross and what He is doing by the Holy Spirit in every child of God. I'm not talking about the baptism for power gifts to operate. I'm talking about the indwelling Spirit of Christ. For if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of His. Listen carefully. To this end I also labor, striving according to His working, which works in me mightily. Hallelujah. This is God's power. This is God's person of power, the Holy Spirit, working in him mightily. In the Old Covenant, the prophet put it this way, I'm full of power by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Here's what A.W. Tozer said. I wanted to get to this, and there's much more to this, as you can clearly understand. He said of the Scripture in Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I quote, I'm not afraid of the devil. The devil can handle me. He's got judo I never heard of. But he can't handle the one I'm joined to. He can't handle the one to whom I am united. He can't handle the one whose nature dwells in my nature. Hallelujah. Listen, do you have on shouting shoes? Do you have in your teeth today? Can you chew on this meat? I know you can't just swallow it whole. I have to chew on it, and I've been preaching this. I have been teaching this. I have been living in the reality of this, and yet I have to revisit it and chew it some more. Amen. Because this is the glory that we might be presented unto God, a pure and spotless bride for His Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. How's He going to do that with people that have the flaws and weaknesses that we all have? It's the human condition. Praise God. Well, here's how He does it. Amen. Christ comes to indwell the child of God. And then the Holy Spirit baptizes the child of God into Jesus Christ, fulfilling the prayer of Jesus in John's Gospel. Hallelujah. Father, you know how I'm in you and you're in me. We're one in that union. I want them to be in us in that same way, that you might love them with the same love you have loved me. Praise God. Martin Luther knew this well. And he wrote about it in a great hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. I'm going to read just a chorus from that. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed His truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, His doom is sure. One little word shall fail Him. The little word here He had in mind, as the rest of that song will clearly declare and distinguish, the mighty champion of God, Jesus Christ, who triumphed in that cross, hallelujah, and came then to indwell you and to indwell me. Let's look at this union with Him, this great champion dwelling in us. He overcame once and for all that we might overcome in every encounter we have with the tempter and with the deceiver and with all his hierarchy of dark powers. Friend of mine, there's victory in the name of Jesus, because there's victory in Jesus today. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. It says, by one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, or we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Amen. Romans 5:30 says, we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. Glory to God. Amen. And Galatians 3:27 says, for as many that were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now we see Christ in us, and now we see us in Christ. No wonder that we're accepted in the Beloved, as the Scripture says. And it's all about Him being in us, and it's all about us being in Him. Baptism in water is symbolic of this baptism, that it can only occur and does only occur by the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we have holy instructions in Romans 12:12-13, to put off the old man and put on the new, don't we? It says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. This armor of light is the armor of God, who is light, that we wear when we come up against all of the powers of darkness. I'm going to tell you, I could sing it in Sunday school, but I can't sing it now. Not because I'm too proud and don't need to stay humble. It's because I need boldness to overcome this very aggressive enemy that we all face today. For we argue not against flesh and blood, but powers, principalities, rulers of the darkness of this world, Ephesians 6:10 says, and spiritual wickedness in high places. And what armor do we put on? Take on the whole armor of God. God who is light, God in whom there is no darkness at all, neither a shadow of turning. This little light of mine? Are you kidding me? No, there's no little light inside of me. There's no little light inside of you. There's the light that has shined in the darkness, the light that has shattered the darkness, praise God, that is dwelling in you and dwelling in me, and it makes me want to live close to God, and it makes me want to live without fear, with a holy boldness in the face of all of this array of enemies, these spirits of darkness from the netherworld, the devil and his cohorts, the devil and his demons, the devil and his fallen angels. Listen, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us, we who are in Christ and have Christ in us, you see, cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put, what is the armor of light? Better yet, who is the armor of light? It's a person. Hallelujah. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Putting on Jesus is putting on God's armor. Hallelujah. The armor of light to defeat the powers of darkness. We take the whole armor of God, our loins girt about with truth. We put on Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. The helmet of salvation. Jesus alone is our Savior. We claim and proclaim we are saved because of His blood atonement on the cross. Jesus is our Savior, solo Cristo, hallelujah. Only Jesus can save. He alone. We put on that helmet, and it keeps our mind from doubt and fear concerning are we truly saved. We put on the breastplate that keeps our heart, the breastplate of righteousness. Jesus is our righteousness. Praise God. We take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Jesus is the Word made flesh, and His Word is truth. And above all, taking the shield of faith, Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. When we put on Jesus, we put on the armor of light. When we put on the armor of light, we put on the armor of God, who is light. And in Him, there is no darkness of all. So this union with Christ is so profound, so powerful, so wonderfully true. It's life changing. Listen as we close today. In Romans 6, 3 and 4, know ye not that as many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into His death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Hallelujah. Friend, there's victory in Jesus today for you. There's victory in Jesus for me today as a child of the living God. And Christian, it's time that we get a hold of something deeper than just Jesus died for me on the cross. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. I hope I can hold out until He comes. No, God does not want you to just hold out until He comes. God wants you, God wants me to represent a glorious King, a great conquering King, whose name is written on His thigh when He returns on the white horse of triumphant conquering victory. King of kings and Lord of lords. The sound of His name every knee will bow, every tongue shall confess of things in heaven, earth, and beneath the earth, that He is Lord to the glory of God. Christian, it's time to realize God's champion is indwelling you. He wants to manifest the victory that He got in our behalf, in your life and in mine, that we might bring glory and honor to His name, finish His work to be witnesses unto Him as we follow Him in this ever-darkening end time. He overcame that we might always overcome. And today, if you don't know Jesus, you don't have armor, you don't have light to conquer, push back the darkness. The Bible said the whole world, as it is today, this fallen world, lies in wickedness. That means under the power and influence of the evil one. But today all of that can change. Today you can come to Jesus. You can repent of your sin and receive Him as your Lord and Savior. You'll change kings, you'll change lords, you'll change masters. Hallelujah. Jesus will come and indwell you. And Jesus will give you victory that you never dreamed you could have. Come to Christ in Jesus' name.